This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. It has been 25 plus days since activists with the Black Lives Matter chapter of Los Angeles have been camping out in front of City Hall. Their demand is for the mayor of this city, Eric Garcetti, to fire Police Chief Charlie Beck. And that demand comes in response to the exoneration of yet another LAPD officer in the shooting, the fatal shooting death of a Black woman named Riedel Jones. Well, we brought you a report here on Rising Up with Sonali on July 13th. It was day 3 of the occupation, and going on day 25, the occupation looks like it is here indefinitely until Police Chief Charlie Beck is either fired or resigned. And today we bring you some of the voices from those who are continuing this occupation. And joining me is Melina Abdullah. She is a professor of Pan-African Studies at Cal State LA and also very active with the Black Lives Matter Los Angeles chapter. You've been here now going on day 25, Melina. Can you tell us what's been happening for the past more than 3 weeks?
Sure. So for 25 days now, we've been in a 24-hour encampment outside of City Hall for what we're calling Decolonize LA City Hall. We're demanding that the mayor, Eric Garcetti, fire the police chief, Charlie Beck, for leading the most murderous police department in the country. We were prompted to engage in this action after the police commission ruled that the killing of 30-year-old Black mother of two, Riedel Jones, who was accused... Okay, sorry.
And you're here with your child.
I'm here with my child, usually my children, but my two oldest are on a field trip. So I have my young one here. So we're demanding that Chief Beck be fired because he leads the most murderous police department in the country. And the police commission, really through his urging, came up with the ruling that the killing of 30-year-old Black mother of two, Riedel Jones, was in policy. She was accused of no more than stealing $80 using a kitchen knife. The police spotted her more than an hour later, and when she saw them see her, she fled. By all witness accounts, she was shot in the back and then left in the alley in a very residential neighborhood in South Los Angeles in the middle of the day, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And children watched that body decay throughout the course of the day. And online, folks will be able to see there's a video that the widower of Riedel Jones, Marcus Vaughn, made that has he and the two children, Sakari and Artanian, talking about what it's like to, you know, have to live without their mother. And so that's what prompted us to be here. We're simply saying that we cannot continue to live in conditions like this. We cannot continue to live with a police chief who treats the Black community not just with disregard, but with a disdain. He shows an ongoing disdain for Black life. And so Charlie Beck has got to go. And we're here until he does.
So the last time I was here, which was around about day 3 of the occupation, you guys were on the opposite, across the street. Now you're on this side. How have both the city and LAPD attempted to basically get rid of you from this space?
So we were initially in front of City Hall, right outside of the door to Eric Garcetti's building, right, to Eric Garcetti's office.
The mayor of LA.
The mayor of LA, and we were moved. We were told we could not be on the steps of the public building. We had to move across the street to City Hall East, which they called a free speech area. I didn't know you had only areas that you can express your freedom of speech. We're here 24 hours at night. We have tents. We were told that our tents have to come down during the day. We know that there is a houseless ordinance around that, but that's not supposed to apply to protest, right? That doesn't trump First Amendment rights. We've complied nonetheless. The police come in periodically with new rules. Their tactic last week was to power hose the area that we're in, saying that they're cleaning it. We were talking to folks in the houseless community who've said that this area has never been, in their memory, ever been power hosed. Last week it was power hosed 4 separate times.
While you were on it?
Well, they told us we had to move. So each time we have to pack up all of our belongings, be outside of the area that they say they're going to power hose for 6 hours, and then set back up.
So, well, California is in a drought, by the way, and we're not supposed to be washing our sidewalks with water, right?
Oh, wow, I didn't even think about that piece. So yes, so they're violating that. But I think they're countering that by deciding that, as you know, as a resident of Los Angeles, at night, all of the city buildings have exterior lights that they use to light up the building, including City Hall East has these recessed lights here. And so for years, I've lived in the city for 15 years at least, these lights come on at night. So since we've started our encampment, they've started a new conservation program. When they realize that we have nighttime circles from 8 to 10, that is the time in which they are going to conserve energy by cutting all the lights off. So that counterbalances, I guess, the washing of the sidewalk, because they're conserving by turning off the lights for 2 hours a night. Yes.
Melina, the encampment here, it has very specific demands. It's not a vague thing. And as I was walking in, my producer and I were given the sheet of paper that lays out the specific demands that you're making for Mayor Eric Garcetti, along with a phone number. Can you summarize these demands for us and give out that phone number?
Sure. Well, we have five demands for Mayor Garcetti. But for this encampment, there's only one demand that we have, and that is to fire Charlie Beck, fire the police chief. We've been making this demand for over a year, but this is why we're camped out here. We are here until Charlie Beck is gone. So he can resign. We'll take that too. The specific demand is to fire Charlie Beck. That said, that's the demand for this action, but we have four other demands for the mayor broadly. They are a reparations policy, and so that reparations policy would be not just reparations for chattel slavery, which is a larger national demand, but reparations for those who've been brutalized by the police and the families of those who've been killed by police. Demand number three is to move the police commission meetings to a time and location where folks can actually participate. Almost every police commissioner is on record as saying that we are disrupting meetings, that we are distracting them from being able to do the work of the people, as if being present, you know, I'm a political scientist by training. When people turn up for public meetings, we call that civic participation, and we applaud that. And then the fourth thing that we want is the appointment of commissioners, both police commissioners as well as other commissions. We want commissioners who actually reflect the community and who have expertise in those particular areas. And then the final thing that we're asking for is quarterly town hall meetings with the Black community, with an agenda that we develop and with a format that we define. That fifth and final demand is around having Eric Garcetti step up and be an actual leader for all of Los Angeles, including Black Los Angeles. We want the public to call Eric Garcetti and tell him to fire Chief Beck. You can call at 213-978-0600, 213-978-0600. You may get the voicemail, that's okay, leave a message. And call every day, let him know it's important to you. The second thing you can do is go to the Black Lives Matter Los Angeles Facebook page. Pinned right to the top of that page is an online petition asking Eric Garcetti to fire the police chief, and it gives all the reasons why, or many of the reasons why. And then the last thing is, you know, everyone is welcome to join us in the organizing work that's going on here in front of City Hall. We're at 200 North Main Street. There's food here. We do nighttime circles from 8 to 10. And everybody is willing, is really invited to come out and be a part of this form of democracy.
My name is Brittany Craig. I've been here since day one, July 12th. We came down to the commissioner's office on that Tuesday to find out what the verdict was going to be for the Redell Jones case, and it was not satisfactory, so we decided to march down to City Hall. We started off across the street the first couple of days, and then we were relocated over here, and we've been over here ever since. It's day 25. I've been here pretty much every single day and night.
Brittany, you seem like a young person. Can I ask how old you are?
I'm 24.
Wow. Is this, how active have you been in Black Lives Matter LA?
Well, I'm actually a new member as of this last Sunday. And I've been I haven't been active up until recently, until the last about 4 weeks. Four Sundays ago was my first Black Lives Matter event, when we marched in Inglewood down to Manchester and La Cienega and shut down that intersection. That was my first Black Lives Matter event.
What drew you into this? Did you know that you were going to be camped out for going on 4 weeks?
No, we didn't know. We came up here not anticipating that this was going to happen. We just came up here just to show support to Redell Jones and her family. And we ended up making the decision that night, and we kind of just took a poll. We were like, well, let's just sit here. And we just took a poll that night, and we made a commitment that night. Well, who's willing to stay here? And I put my hand up, and I haven't left since, and I don't plan to leave because that was my word.
What do you do?
I'm a nurse assistant, and I'm also a student at Cal State Dominguez Hills. I'm studying sociology. I'm also a mother. So I'm a busy person. Yeah, I work, go to school.
How are you managing to balance everything?
Well, I just figure I live here now. So anything that I would do at home, I do here. And so I just have to, I have my son out here with me. And then I just take him to his father at night. And when I have to work, you know, I go change and go to work. And I just live as if I'm living from here instead of living from home.
Are you staying the night in a tent here as well?
Yes, every night. Actually, when I'm not here, I miss being here because we've created such a beautiful community. It's kind of like we live here how we would like the rest of the world to be. Everyone is included. Everyone has something to contribute. So there are people who, you know, contribute their art. There are people who contribute their skills, and everyone just works together to make things happen. So it's really a beautiful space to be in.
Brittany, you are the mother of a small boy. How do you explain to him what you're doing here? What is that conversation like?
I tell him the truth because I think it'll be irresponsible of me to let him grow up being naive in a world that is going to make things harder on him because of the color of his skin. So, you know, I refuse to let my son be naive and not know what's going on. So I tell him, I'm very honest with him. As far as a four-year-old can comprehend.
And are you doing this for him? I mean, he is the new generation, and the idea that he would grow up in a world where police continue to kill people with impunity is a very sad thought.
It is a very sad thought. And I mean, he's been aware even before I've told him. We saw the police one day, and he goes, oh, we have to run. They're going to try to kill my daddy. And I had not even, this was when he was 3 years old, I had not even introduced that idea to him. So for him to even just be aware just from watching TV and seeing what's going on, that right there gave me like a lot of motivation to try to get more involved. And I do this with and for him. I expect him to be active in this as well. And he is active in this as well because he needs to fight for himself. And I'm teaching him that from a young age.
What do you do every day?
Play.
Yeah. And what do you know why you're here?
Because the police will kill our family.
And what sort of, do you want a world where that never happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And are you proud of your mama? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to grow up to be like her?
Yeah.
My name's Trevor. I've been here for 25. And I'm here to support Black Lives Matter. I feel like the call for justice demands action, and it demands of us to be here. If we believe in democracy like we say we do, I feel like this is an imperative.
What has it been like for you to be around a you know, largish group of people and confronting these powers every day?
It's intense, and I think we, you know, everybody places a lot of importance on self-care here because I feel like it's very necessary. It's a traumatic space. We've had a lot of harassment from the police. There's been agitators sent in, but the positive side of it is that you have a lot of people from a load of different backgrounds, different ages, sort of even different political ideologies, but there's an agreement on being here and the work that we're doing here. And that's been really, really positive.
What do you do when you're not here?
I make music, kind of. I live in Berlin.
Oh, wow, so you're actually visiting home?
Yeah, you could say that. I came back, to be honest with you, I came back. I saw everything that was going on here and I thought it was time for me to maybe spend a bit more time here.
Are your friends in Europe wondering or watching what you're doing and commenting on it?
They're watching very closely, and in fact, there's a lot of solidarity, particularly in England at the moment. Like, so there's the London, London and Birmingham have started doing actions under the Black Lives Matter, banner. So in a lot of ways, it's long overdue, and obviously, technology has helped and globalization, but that we see that it's not an isolated incident, right? White supremacy is global. It's not just a system that functions here, it functions all across the world. And, I believe that this is the beginning of the real struggle to dismantle that system.
How long do you plan on being able to stay here?
Until the wheels fall off.
Audience, for our broader national audience, Melina, as this occupation has continued this week, has emerged the brutal death of Corinne Gaines in Baltimore, and the videos coming from that, as this young mother was barricaded inside her home, have really moved a lot of people and also kind of re-traumatized folks. What have the conversations here at the occupation of City Hall that you've been a part of, what have the conversations around that incident been?
There's been a lot more than conversation. There's been a lot of grieving. Many of us are mothers, and many of us have children the age of her son. I have a son that's 6. Her son was 5. Or is 5. And so there's been a lot, right? When we talk about the devaluation of Black life, they were coming to serve a warrant for a traffic violation. And she's dead, and her son has been shot. The baby. So there's been a lot of conversation about that, and a lot of kind of summoning of her energy, I think. Her will and her energy and her power and her strength to say, you know what, you don't have the right to treat me this way. Her ongoing consciousness about how the state and how the police treat Black people reminds us we have to summon our own power, right? We can't simply ask for freedom, we have to demand freedom. And so we call her name, we've called her name daily since her body has been stolen. Her spirit is very, very present. Her spirit's very present.
Melina, the videos that she posted, even of her being pulled over and some of her views that she posted, a lot of people have looked at that and seen somebody who was belligerent. How do you see her anger?
I see it as righteous rage. I mean, I think that, you know, this kind of counter narrative that Black people have to be polite, have to be calm in the face of our own deaths is absolutely ridiculous. I'm not going to be calm. You shot a 5-year-old child, right? You shot Ayanna Stanley Jones, who was 7. You murdered Tamir Rice, who was 12, right? We can't sit back and be calm, right? There's a reason for righteous rage. There's a place for that rage. And I think the idea that Black people have to be calm and quiet and engage in polite dialogue, that time is done. In fact, that time has never been right in the first place, right? We have to be enraged. How can we not be enraged with the way that they treat our people? So we're staying until Beck is gone, and I'll be here until Beck is gone.
Well, maybe we'll be checking in with you again in the near future. Thank you so much, Melina.
Or maybe he'll be gone today and you won't have to.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Reporting from Los Angeles City Hall in downtown LA, I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, host of Rising Up with Sonali. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.